Do you enjoy the hymn?
Yes.
Do you really get what it means? For myself, this particular fourth song is really prepared for me. I guess I'm in a critical moment of either going forward or backward. And it's very interesting, right? The life is kind of like that. Sometimes we don't want to stay at one particular moment because we're thinking, right, it's bored and stale. So we want to move on. And today, we'd like to talk about spiritual cleanliness. And the aim is very simple. What on earth am I here for? What on earth am I here for? We can interpret this sentence in different ways. It could be just literally, why are you here right now? Or we can extend it out to thinking about more lifelong, what's the purpose of my life here? And there was a very famous book written by the Mr. Warren about what's the purpose of the life. They call it a purpose-driven life. And it became a very huge movement, right, to transform the American thinking about life. And if some people say the purpose, right, of our life supposed to proclaim and preach the kingdom of gospel, which there's people really doing that. But if you're really going back to the hymn, right, all four hymns, right, it's really talking about this. God make a beautiful thing out of the dust. That's you and me. The end of the worship. All the life we live for is for Jesus. That's what we sing. And everybody say we enjoy. Are we enjoy the melody? Or we really get into the lyric? That's the question, as a matter of fact, why I ask. And why the lyric, right, hymn is so strong. I bow my head and thinking about that. God, are you questioning me? Are you asking me, why am I here for? This is supposed to be the end. So the question here again, why are you here? Because my whoever made me? Or because someone is here? Or you just get used to it? To worship God? To learn about to be more religious, more faithful? Or just try to get the fellowship, or you are here to serve. There are so many answers, right? You can fill the blank. Hopefully, by end of this sermon, you know what to feel. And along the way, you will keep updating it, right? From moment to moment, the answer could be different. But suppose that if I give you the answer right away, since I'm preaching. So we are here for the Creator's glory. There's a 1, 2, 3. God make it clear. He is our Heavenly Father. He should be the number one. Beside him, we should not put anything above him. And we have to be careful, right? When you are using his name. It's very simple. 1, 2, 3. God say it very clear. And as a matter of fact, but when you come into the Jesus world, right? Jesus demanded more and make it very clear. He say, greatest commandment. I want all of you, whole of you. Very simple, heart, soul, mind, and strength. So if you still have the strength, if you still able to think, you still have the heart, where should you use and apply to your life? God made it so clear. But is life so hard? If you go online, right, check the most 6 activity of daily living, it's very simple. So simple, right? You will laugh. Because it say, number one, sleeping. Right? What's number two? You probably guess what is coming. Go to the bathroom, right? Activity, you have to. Bathing, you have to clean yourself up, right? For sure, eating, right? Major part. Dressing properly. Transferring, walking, standing, jumping from place to place. Very simple, right? But what happens if you are not able, capable to do one of this? It will be disaster, right? Very simple. So we're going to use the simple way, right, to address the purpose of life. Today we're going to focus the most favorite subject, what we are going to eat. Eating. Right, let's talk about eating. How does Jesus, right, require that? If I can bring it to the next. Okay, so if you have the Bible, please turn to the Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We'll just bring out a couple of verses, 5 of them, then we will talk about this whole chapter, right? How it's been laid out, structure, and what's the really spiritual meaning behind it. So, verse 37 in the chapter 11 in Luke, it starts with Jesus just finished speaking, and there's a Pharisee, a very good person, and very delicate his life to explain the law, to follow the law. Invited Jesus, right, to eat with him. So that's the eating coming from. And then something happened, right? He was so surprised that, no, not yet. So Jesus agreed and went in and reclined at the table, meaning it's a position, right, to really relax and eat. And then something happened. Pharisee was really shocked, surprised that Jesus, right, in the meal, did not wash his hand. And funny thing is that Jesus responded. The Lord said to him, no, you guy, you do clean the outside of the cup and the dishes, but inside, you are full of greed and wickedness. So then, direct, foolish. The one who make the outside and make the inside also. And that's a challenge coming. But now as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor and everything will be clean for you. Very interesting passage, right? So we will see, right, how this Holy Spirit is going to lead in us to interpret the passage. So we're going to come in from the four different angles. Look at this spiritual cleanliness. Number one is inviting, observing, correcting, and responding. So we're going to look at all this four angles and see that whether we can get something out of it and apply to our daily life. So inviting, right? Inviting is very, I don't know how to control this properly. Okay, when Jesus finished speaking, right, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So what was Jesus speaking about? And this is the summary of the chapter 11. It starts with a prayer request. It starts with Jesus was praying, then his disciple came up and asking, Lord, could you teach us how to pray? Then Jesus brought up the two examples. One example is about friends of friends of friends, right? And coming to in the midnight and asking along of the three loaves of bread. Because his friend just traveled, came to his house, and he just don't have something, anything to serve him. So he's knocked at his friend's door in the midnight and begging whether he can got the law of the three bread to serve his friend. And next one is talking about a kid going to his father and pleading for fish and egg. And the father gonna, what are you gonna do? But the emphasis is that keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. And then move out, right? There's a challenge in coming up the where the Jesus got the power to drive out the demon. And then later, Jesus say another example talking about even your heart is clean, all the evil things being driven out. If there's no law inside, then the unclean spirit, right, would coming back and take over and make your situation worse than previous. And later, right, talk about truly blessing is about not just hearing, but also can apply them out. Then you talk about sign of Jonah and parable of life, which we're going to cover a little bit clear in when we move out. So Pharisee, right, on this setting, we have to understand, when Jesus talk about this speaking, right, there's an accusation saying that Jesus driving out the demon is using the power from demons. So it's a huge accusation there. And Jesus counteracted back is that, no, you got it all wrong. You should look in the right way. As a matter of fact, the kingdom of God has arrived. This is the moment because I really cast out the demon, right? By the power of God. But since you guys really against me and really not with me, so you are scattering all over. You're not really knowing who I am. And then going to further, testing more, right, who Jesus is, say, okay, then go perform a sign from heaven to prove who you are. And that's why Jesus come in and counterguess, right? The generation, right, is really wicked in a way that even you perform one, you ask another one, another one, another one, because the heart is already corrupted. But God will prepare the final sign from the heaven. It's about a sign of Jonah. Jonah was sent to the foreigner, proclaimed that you guys are really wicked. If you don't repent, God's going to destroy you soon. And that's a sign of the Jonah. Then Jesus kept talking that whatever I'm saying here, right, is more wisdom, even better than the King Solomon. And my message is more important even for the prophet of the Jonah. So you can see that the Pharisee, right, is really attacking Jesus. Maybe inside their mind, they are not really attacking. They are really trying to defend it, whatever they truly believe. They are questioning whether Jesus is, he is. But nonetheless, there's a one of the Pharisees, right, coming still want to know about Jesus, inviting him to eat, even with those unpleasant things happen. Funny thing is that when he set it up, he's really looking, observing how Jesus behaves. And then come with this. And when he kept looking, keep observing, he was surprised. All the shock, right? Jesus did not first ceremonial wash before the meal. Ceremonial wash. That's very interesting. It's not the regular clean up your hand. So if I going back, right, you check this word, ceremonial wash. It's two words in English, but in the original Greek, right, it's only one word. And if you're really going to see what's this word, right, it doesn't mean too much. It's more like cleansing by dipping or submerging to wash, make sure you clean with water. So that's no different, right, than what we are doing before we eat in the meal. So what's the big deal? And if you go further digging up, right, but this, right, it's different. Because there's a ritual washing at that time. And basically, they claim this wash of the hand in many, many occasions. Before prayer, you have to wash your hand. Perform any ritual act. For example, if I want to preach, I need to clean my hand first. And breaking the bread before eating, after wake up from your sleep, you have to wash your hand. And using a laboratory, that's reasonable. Leaving a cemetery after the meal, you still have to wash your hand. Interesting, right? Some really making sense. Some really doubtful. But that's not the aim. Aim is this too. Before the eating, right, and after wake from sleep. Accompanied with this washing, right, you have to do the blessing, meaning do the sum of the prayer. So it becomes a ritual. This means that I clean kind of like when we eat, before we eat a meal. We do a prayer, right? If you forget about that, what will you feel? If a pastor did not pray before he eat, will you look at him or her? Interesting, right? But that's exactly right, a measurement. So there's a term called a lifting up the hands. And he said that washing the hand before the eating bread, and they have a special specification about how do you wash. Quantity of the water and how deep, right, you should wash. No kidding, really. And there's a standard. And interesting is that they think Messiah is a man, supposed to be a Jewish. So as long as you are a person being, you belong to the Jewish, you have to follow the rule. All right? So Jesus, is Jesus a human being? Yes. Right? Although he's God, I guess germ won't get to him. He won't sick, right? So, but the here from their angle is different from the human being angle. No. Even the Messiah, he have to follow the rule. Yeah. And if you don't, we're going to kick you out. You will not be the one sent by God to save us, because you don't follow our ceremonial rule. So this is an argument. This is a setting. Correcting. This is broad. This is never argue about what your ritual is good or bad. No, that was not the aim. The aim go deeper. Directive, yes, maybe your outside is clean. Maybe. Maybe your outside is clean. But God look at inside directly. Inside you are full of greed and weakness. So fill with whatever inside. If you go into the range of the word, right, the greed is more like robbery. You're forcing lots of things, right? It's not only just greed alone. It's plundering. You're really using the force, right, to get it. So that's showing your eager, right? You want to own it. It doesn't matter, right, whether it's right or wrong. You just want more. That's a greed coming in. Then you go into the other one, weakness, right, is iniquity, the evil things, right, evil thought. So one is really pumping up the thinking, and you really find a way to try to get it. And the other, right, is just evil things, right, is cooking up. It's kind of like outside. A cup, right? Cleaning, very good. But inside, right? Lots of dirt. And that's what Jesus aiming, right? Washing. Washing is not just outside. Cleaning. Cleaning is not just outside. There's lots of it. And from the hidden, we say inside out. So, Jesus say, foolish. You fool. You don't get it. Did not the one who make the outside also make the inside also? So that's the sounds coming in. We are the beautiful things that God had made. Right? Foolish is very interesting. The word used in the Old Testament, right, is more like attitude, or it's a person. It could be from the really the fool, right? Or more aiming, you are so self-confident about the things you think is right. Or you're so self-righteous, right? Whatever you're doing is the best, the right way to do it. But in God's eye, right, you're truly just empty. And maybe you're so thick-headed. You won't get it. You're locking yourself, right? No, you're wrong. My way is the only way. You should do it this way to serve God. You should do it this way, right, to wash your hand, right? That's how it goes. And in the New Testament, right, it got a new meaning of it, extended it. It's more aiming now. People who claim they know God. But their thinking and action real not in a proper way in God's eye. So that's the fool coming in. God created us in His own image. We all have a characteristic, right? Love, kindness, and we really bring it out in a good way. Because whatever God created, right, originally was really good, really beautiful, really peaceful, really kind, really in harmony with each other. But so later, right, the sin came into the world and totally, right, ruined everything, and the curse followed up, and you just get it from bad to worse. So that's what finally Jesus said very clear, right? What inside you, right? If you really generous enough to give in to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. How could it possible? How could it possible? Sometimes, right, when you are giving the money to the poor, right, that's outside act. Inside, right, we are saying, oh, poor you. You cannot even, right, make a living. You must be cursed. You must be a loser. Now, here is a handout for you. It's outside. It's not inside. That's not Jesus going to inside. Jesus saying that you have to go from inside so everything, right, will be clean. Right? And if you go into the Leviticus chapter 11, they have the kosher rule, right, talking about what kind of food is clean or unclean. And whatever act at that time, right? Because they just came out of the Egypt and God is teaching them how to be holy. But when you grab on those rules, right, apply to the extent, and they forget about the reason is God wants you to be holy, want you to be like God, right? To be separate and to be different, right? To live in for Him. So Jesus come in, right, say that the food, right, come inside and going out, right, is not that important. Most important is whatever coming out from your heart. And Peter and Paul also talk about this, right, whatever food you are eating, right, are you doing for benefit for other? Are you eating this? Maybe you have a clean conscience. You got an intelligent, you know, what to eat is better. But just for the people around you, for some time, you don't want them to become weak because you're eating. You'll give it up. You'll give it up. And that's the heart, right? God don't want us, right, get a rule and become legalism, right? Addicted to it, right? This meeting just have to start at 12:30. No late. If late by 5 minutes, you are not respectful to God, no matter what the reason is. After 3 times, you're out. Yeah. So that's general cleanness, right? It's really not bound by legalism or even the Eliasm, right? It's not that you got all this rule and set up your bind to it, then you are better than others. Maybe, but not in the way how God look at it. God must look at it, right, inside out as a whole deal. This real tough, right? God look at your heart first. Is that really coming from love? It's really coming from the submission and the obedience, right? A commitment to Him, right? Because He do know we are human beings. we are weak. And we are living on this world, right? It's really have a lot of bad influence, right? And life is getting tougher. Or maybe living, cost of living is really expanding. But God do know, right? Something inside your heart won't be touched by the environment, by the hardship, by the difficult, by the discouragement, right? By the opinion people, right, put on you, right? Which is really innocent. Maybe there's a space, right, to improve. Maybe there's space of the weakness. Yes, we admit it, right? But in the end, right, there's something, right, it's really valuable why you are doing this. So this is a passage, very simple passage from the eating, right? And it's not what you eat. It's just because before the eating, how you wash your hand, right? So will you wash your hand from now on before eating? You should, right? Right? Jesus never say you should not wash. But Jesus say wash inside as well, right? Clean inside. Clean inside. And why I'm thinking this is important to me. So now I'm going back. I'm going to answer. Why am I here? It's not easy. Today when I'm here, I was here earlier just, be with the worship team practice. And I was sitting there, right, and thinking of what kind of message I'm going to deliver. I wrote a lot. Last night after Awana, I spent 3 hours, right, correcting my note for the passage. And this morning, right, and God said, maybe you should look at in different angle. And that's how my dear friend came up to me, right, and say, how are you doing? And I say, oh, not really good. I guess God want me to change my preaching. And then worship him coming up. And I got a message. God said this message is not only for the audience, it's for me. When you commit to God, when you're thinking about you're going to live for him, when you're thinking about all your life, right, is act of the worship, then you're supposed to know. Suppose you can derive the power and the strength divinely. No matter how the situation, right, environment is looked tough. Life has a different meaning. It's tough, yes. Will it be tougher? Maybe, for sure. There's a lot of disappointment. But during the service, there's something really, right, full of blessing. But you won't know until you are really inside, be generous and kind enough, willing to bring it out to serve. And that's a serving, right? Get you closer to God. Keep on serving. Persistent. Faithful. Even you don't get it, even you're thinking life is too hard, and you won't only get back to the 6 basic living activity. That's simple. Take care of your own only. But I don't think that's the purpose-driven life. Purpose-driven life is God wants you to get close with him. Very close. Close enough, right, you are truly his children. And he will let you know how lucky, how blissful you are to be his children. And then you can live stronger, You can live more powerful. You can live to be more blessing to all the people around you. Life full of the challenge. Sometimes life full of the tear. But that was not original purpose God wanted to create us. God wants us to enjoy the life, to fully, to be abundant. But how to get it? How to live it? We really have to let God inside it and to lead in us. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus Christ, we are sinful. It doesn't matter whether we know it or we don't know it. We all need your mercy and your cleansing. We have a lot of rules. Doesn't matter how they are people apply to us or we make it up ourselves. There are so many rules in this world. But the one you set it up for us is very simple. Let us can love you wholly. And I guess it's this love pumping us, let us be here in the early Sunday morning. And this will keep us pumping all the way through our life. For this, we are grateful. We're only expecting all the life ahead of us, all the problem, all the trouble, even the suffering ahead of us. We are not afraid. Because through the serving, through your presence, through the power of the Holy Spirit with us, we will keep on going. Because this is your demand. This is how you make us, why you make us. That's why we are here for. We thank you. Please cleansing us. Give us tender heart, full of the grace and love, full of the strength from you. Let us know. We can be courageous. Let us know we won't be put down because we know you love us. We are your children. You are our creator. We really love you and thanking you. For this we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Sorry, after praying, my head just empty, right? So we're supposed to collect the offering. So if you feel want to support the church and do all the activity and you have this giving desire, please share with us. It's not an obligation. It's just an act of love. Archer, please. Sure.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song. Song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, but it's all about you.
thanks for this. Dear Father in heaven, please accept this offering and the tithes, and please bless all who attend and give today. Show us your love and grace in a mighty way for our sacrifice and obedience. And please provide the church the wisdom to use this money properly, according to your will and for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please sit. All right, so if we could bring up the announcement. If I can move it on. So, yeah, could you help me? So we have the class, besides this youth and the children, and Uncle Jerry gonna, Elder Jerry gonna also host another class. So please talk to him. Next. Our program started last night. We have a lot of attenders and new teacher and helper. We are grateful. Please bring the kids, whatever you know, you don't know, just grab into the Awana. We're gonna have fun there. And next. And this, oh, we also starting the Pastor Phil, the family time. Talk to him, it's pretty fun. I wish I could attend as well. And today have the parent meeting, right? Is that
no,
today?
No,
not today.
Next week.
Oh, next week, okay. There's parent meeting, please attend if you are available. Next. And we have the EMT meeting. If you are interested, please join us to serve the, or bring the opinion of yours to let us know how to be improved better to serve you. Next. Thank you for the worship team. Really enjoy it. Thank you. Next. Next week will be the Pastor Phil gonna preach. And if you have some leverage, welcome to join us, the service team. And we have a lots of program going on, and it's all for God's glory sake. So please help if you could. All right, that's all right. We're gonna do the benediction right now. May the Almighty God sanctify you and keep you blameless. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all from now to forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Thank you, attending. Thank you with us.